I've messed up my life, now what? This is not the first time I preached this message. I just felt I had to preach this message. I had a burden on my heart this week, and this message I probably wrote 20 years ago. Doesn't change anything. The message is the message and staying. And it's meaningful to those whose lives are messed up. Now, all of our lives are messed up. It just depends on what degree. The common denominator in our messed up lives is our sin. And that's what we'll be talking about this morning, is our messed up lives and sin. But there are some folks who have fallen in sin so far. They have let the sins of this world take them so far away from God, and God hasn't taken anything away from them. They've taken it away from themselves by their sins. And their lives are turned upside down to a point where you say you might say there's no hope, but there is hope. And there is a solution. Have you ever done something that messed up your life? Don't answer. This is not confession time. But have you ever done that? Maybe in some small degree or maybe a large degree. I have a sneaking suspicion that we all have, and maybe you actually know what the answer is since you're here this morning. So I'm going to turn to our folks on Facebook Live and say, have you messed up? And do you not know what the answer is to get back on track, to be where you need to be? This message is for all of us. David messed up. King David messed up. He shirked his responsibility in leading his army. He failed to watch and pray. He looked over the balcony and desired another man's wife. He committed adultery with her. He got her husband drunk and plotted his death, covered his sins, lived the life of a hypocrite. David's life was a mess. And until Nathan showed up, he thought he'd gotten away with it. And the minute that Nathan spoke to him and he realized, God knew, everyone knew, and his life was never going to be the same. You see, because of these sins of David, and you know, these are pretty significant sins. There's not something to say, oh, you can forget about. No, God wasn't going to forget about these. Because of these sins, his sin was made public. His son, by Bathsheba, died. His son, Amnon, raped his daughter Tamar. His wives would be taken by adultery. His son Absalom tried to usurp his throne. His enemies blasphemed the name of God. And the promise was that the sword would not depart from his house. He would not have a peaceful reign. And this lasted generations. His family was in turmoil. And it all led back, according to God, it all led back to his sin. We live in a society today that does not believe that sin has any consequences, nor should it. That's awful nice thinking, isn't it? Wouldn't it be nice to sin and say, it's all right? And we spent a lot of time in Galatians talking about being free from the law, which points out our sin. We cannot think that we can still sin and not have issues. Sin is sin to God. We're just saved children of God, and we're covered by His blood, and we'll be forgiven. But the consequences of those sins, the consequences of your actions, are real, and they can be long-lasting, especially if we are rebellious in those sins. So David was in this mess. What could David do to get out of this predicament? How could he solve these problems? Well, Psalms 51 is David's method of returning to God's favor. It is the only way. David could not do this on his own. He could not take into each individual sin and try to make it right. And so we're going to read the first 15 verses. We're going to read the first 15 verses of Psalms 51. Very special verses to me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. But let him who glories glory in this. I am so sorry. Go back. I'm sorry. We're not reading it all at once. We're going to take it piecemeal. The first two verses, God's appeal, David's appeal to God. Look, when you mess up, you better tell the person you mess up to you're sorry. And you better appeal to his common decency and mercy and graciousness. You mess up with the wrong person and they're just going to say, see? And twist the knife a little deeper in you. But David pled for God's mercy. Now what does mercy mean? You get what you don't deserve. He did not deserve to have leniency. He did not deserve to have mercy. Mercy is kindness, especially to an enemy or wrongdoer that is greater than might be expected. So David pleaded with God for mercy. Why should David expect any mercy from God? Well, he said, according to your loving kindness. Now, loving kindness is based upon a covenant, a promise. It means loyal, steadfast, or faithful love, or stresses the belonging together of those that are in the love relationship. It's when spouses get mad at each other. You make up. You forgive. And you show mercy. You see, God promises this loving kindness to us. Now in Jeremiah chapter 9 it says, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, saith the Lord. He says, I know you. And yet he still promises to give us loving kindness. David's plea to God was, blot out my transgressions. The sins that I committed, would you blot them out? When you blot something out, it's like it wasn't there. You can't read it anymore. Wash and cleanse him from his sins. If you've ever worked in mud or paint or something like that, and you come home at the end of the day, you feel dirty. David felt dirty with the sins that he committed. He's asking God to wash him of this sin, make him feel clean again. He wanted to be found pure in God's eyes. But just wanting to be found righteous isn't enough. See, I can want all kinds of things in life, but just because I want it doesn't mean that I'm going to get it. There's another step to this. The first step is acknowledging his appeal. The second step is acknowledging your sin. It would be fine to say, Lord, I don't know why this is all going on, but you need to make this right. This is not, my life ain't working out right. But David knew why it wasn't working out. Too many people blame others for their own problems, their own sin problems. We live in a world that wants to blame everybody else. Let me tell you something, most of your problems that come in your life are because of you. Because of your choices, your decisions, and your sins. And so he has to acknowledge it. Let's look in verse 3. For I acknowledge my sins, my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. that ye may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, in sin. And in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. David knows that he's done wrong. Unfortunately, there's so many people today who sin and they haven't a clue that they've done wrong. This is not a ritual prayer. This is not something that we would repeat over and over again to try to get in God's good graces. This came from David's heart, where he says, "Forgive me of all my sins, Lord, for it's your name we pray." That's not the kind of prayer. He is saying, "Lord, I have sinned before you and you only. I have hurt you with my sin." David knew each one of his sins. He said it was ever before him. He couldn't get rid of them. They were going to plague him. He couldn't sleep at night. There are some people today that are truly evil people in this world. Some of them Christians who can do some of the worst things in the world and turn around and sleep like a baby. Don't be that person. It's called a conscience. I want you to notice something else. "Lord, I have sinned and I've done this and I've done this and it's ever before me. Forgive me of my sins." But you should have seen her. She was enticing me. I didn't stand a chance. There are no buts in this. There are no excuses. How many times do we go before God and say, "Lord, I've sinned, but you understand the pressures I was under. You understood that all this stuff I couldn't, I just couldn't deal with and all that." No, there's no buts in this. He just said, "I've sinned, and my sin's ever before you." David knows the consequences of his actions. He is aware that his sin is ever before him. He's aware that he'll still face the consequences of his actions. Now, he did his share of cover-up. He tried to make it sure no one knew. But when confronted, and he understood that now the gig was up and he was going to face the consequence, and there was nothing he was going to be able to do about it. How many of us, when we sin, do we fight and fight trying to justify or rectify or take care of that sin before it hits everyone? And everyone knows. We turn to the wrong person instead of turning to God like David did. David is aware that his actions affect many others. This is what drives me insane. It literally drives me insane. "Well, this is my life and I can do whatever I want to with it. I can sin. It don't affect no one else." That is ridiculous. If you're a member of this church and you fall away and you sin and you say that, no, you are dead wrong. We have been hurt by the sins of others. And then we will continue to be hurt because we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we are a church family and it affects us. Not to mention your family, your friends, your people that you worked with. All of those people are affected by your decisions to sin. Every single time. You are not an island in this world. You're causing everyone else pain and suffering because of your sin. David also knew that he sinned against God. David understood that even though his sins hurt many other people, his sins were really against God. He was the one you got to go to first. Even the smallest sins in our lives are sins that are against God, foremost and firstly. They're sins against Him. But yet too often we sin and act like, he won't even care. He won't even notice. He does care and he does notice. And he hurts for our sin. David said that he knows that God knew his heart. David said that he knew that when he was formed in sin, that he was a sinner from birth, and he knew that he couldn't hide any of his sin from God. You may be hiding sin. We may be hiding sin from God, from others, but we can't hide it from Him. He knew us from the moment we were born, formed in the womb. God desires to take care of the secret sins with Him, for us to take care of it with Him. You know, some sins we may be able to hide from others, but not from Him. And then we see in verse 7 what David wanted. Look in verse 7 through 12. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. He says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear the joy and gladness that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Bunch of sermons just in that passage there alone. But this was his aspirations. David wanted to be made clean. There's nothing better than a shower after working in the yard all day long, is there? You can try to use a wash rag to clean up. But you know what? All you're doing is spots. You don't feel clean, do you? David wanted to be thoroughly washed and thoroughly cleaned. David wanted to be happy. He wanted to be able to smile again. He wanted to be released from the sorrow that he was undergoing. He looked back at a time when he was happy and he says, I want to be back there. And he couldn't do that on his own. That's what I want everyone to be. All of you who have, all of those who have fallen in deep into sin and whose lives are falling apart, I want you to look back at the time when God was blessing in your heart and your life and you were putting Him first, and then you realize that you want to have that smile again, that you want that joy of your salvation again, that you wanted to be happy. It can happen. But you got to want it. David wanted God's forgiveness. He wanted a clean slate with God. He wanted to get rid of those things that was keeping him from enjoying God's friendship. I don't know how many people I come who used to go to church here or somewhere else, and they'll say, you know, I need to get back in church. They never do. They need to get back right with God. Then they'll come back to church. David wanted a clean heart. David knew he needed a clean heart and a clean spirit. He knew that only God could give him this. He knew that he needed to be revived. He knew that he needed to be, quote, born again in the sense of his spirit. He was as low as he's ever been in his life, and everything was falling apart around him. And he says, I want back the life that you want for me. He wanted to be used by God. He didn't want to be cast away and discarded. He said, I want you to use me again. I don't want to be shipwrecked. As Paul would put it, God wanted the Holy Spirit from God. This is not salvation he was concerned about. His heart was fine with that. The Holy Spirit here had to do with service to God. He wanted to serve God still. And then he wanted the joy of his salvation. David craved and hungered for the peace that passeth all understanding in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He wanted that peace in his heart and his life again. He didn't want the chaos and the destruction that his sin had brought. He wanted the closeness he felt for the first time he met the Lord. Do you remember that? Do you remember how close you were with God when you accept, when you asked Him into your heart and your life and He said yes and you felt just like this with Him? And then you started drifting away. He wanted God not only to restore it, but He wanted Him to keep Him there. Aren't these the things that we should want in our lives and desire? Shouldn't we want those things? Then we see David's attitude. We can be bitter. We can be angry. We can be depressed. When life starts falling apart on us, we can lash out to others and think it's their fault or try to convince others that it's their fault. But look at David's attitude in verse 13. He says, "Then, when you restore me, Lord," here's what's going to happen. "Then I will teach transgressors," or sinners, "your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and the tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." David was going to show his clean heart and his right spirit. "Lord, if you'll just take care of this, this is what I'm going to do." He says, "I'm going to tell others about the caring and forgiving God that He knows." You know what? He's doing that even today. When he wrote this, some 3,000 years later, here I am reading this to y'all. Describing. He is telling his story. He is telling us today, just like he said he wanted to do, about sin and the consequences of it and about how God can restore him. And He can restore you. Sharing his experiences with God. Why would you do that? So that sinners can be changed. Do you remember the joy that you felt when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I remember I wanted to tell the world. It was like, yes! Of course, I had been under conviction for about a year, so it was pretty much a burden lifted, to say the least. But I wanted to tell others what Jesus did for me. So he's going to tell others. And then he says, "I'm going to praise God." David knew that we must truly praise Him. We can only do that with a clean heart and a right spirit. And David knew that praising Him put David in his proper place, which was a servant of God. There's too often that when God answers our prayers, when He does give us a clean heart, when He does give us a right spirit, when He does blot out our transgressions, we turn around and say, "Man, I did good, didn't I?" We try to give ourselves the credit. It's only God that does that, right, Terry? It's only God. It's not us. We can't be praised for this. We gave it to God. God took care of it. God forgave us. He cleansed us. He blotted out our sin. And then we turn around and have the audacity to say, "Hey, I did good." No, you didn't. God did. Praise Him for what He is doing in our hearts and our lives. So that's his attitude. So what now? How does that get me out of my mess? Well, the problem in our lives comes from sin. That's where our problems come from. Sin puts us at odds with God. And so we must first have peace with God before He can straighten out the messes that sin gets us in. It is straying from God that gets you into the messes in the first place. And it's getting right with Him that fixes them. Now I want you to notice something. Notice that David didn't ask God to fix the earthly problems that his sins caused. He didn't ask those things to be fixed. He just asked for his heart to be made right. Too often when we go to God and ask Him to fix things, it's not our heart that we want to be fixed. It's the problems that our sin has caused. He didn't want to continue down the path that he was heading. We found in brokenness that the ones who make it are the ones that are truly broken. The ones that never really, ever, ever want to go back to that life. Period. Those are the ones that make it. Isn't that right, Terry? They don't want to go back. They want to have their lives restored. And they know that sin doesn't do anything for them. David knew that it was important to get his heart right with God. One last thing is David's action here. Verse 16 and 17. What does God want? Okay, you've done all this, you've asked Him. David says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I'll give it. You do not delight in burnt offering." It's not enough just to start coming to church. It's not enough to give offering. It's not enough to sacrifice something big in your life. That's not enough. He's not wanting sacrifice. He's not wanting this. But here's what he wants. He wants the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. In case you don't know, a broken spirit means that you can't do anything your own. The broken spirit is where you tried everything in life and it doesn't work. And you come to God with nothing else to lose. And a contrite heart, one that's willing to hear. If you go to God and you say, "Lord, I need all this that you did for David." But you don't come to Him with a broken and a contrite heart. What that means is you're not giving everything else up. You're not surrendering all to Him. It's like the alcoholic who says, "I'm going to give up drinking. I'm going to still have that little bit before bed every night." That don't work. It has to be all. Because it never ends up being that, does it? Just that. He says, quit trying to appease God by sacrifice. Whether that's attending church, giving offering, or teaching, preaching, whatever it is. If you just think that because of what you've done or who you are, that you're going to please God by giving to Him, doing for Him. Well, read Galatians again. It's about your heart. It isn't about anything else. You have to have a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. That's where you have to get right. Forget about all the issues that your sin has brought upon you. And you focus totally upon your relationship with God. With a humble, a broken, and contrite heart. And listen to what He has to say. Many people come to me for advice. So many people leave without actually hearing the advice. And applying the advice. Can you imagine how it feels to God? When they come to God and they say, "Lord, help me, fix this for me. I'm tired," and go through this thing, and then God says, "Well, here's what you must do." "Well, I can't do that." You need to listen and come to God with a broken spirit and a contrite heart. So how's your heart? That's the question for us today. And for those who are watching, will we appeal to God's mercy and His loving kindness? Will we throw ourselves at the court, foot of the feet of the court, if you will, at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. I can't do this. Only you can save me. Will we acknowledge that our sins without reservation? Will we not put the but at the end of what we say or when we confess our sins? Will we just say, Lord, I messed up big time. Help me. Will we aspire to get the good things that walking close to Him brings? If you're still wanting the worldly lifestyle, you'll go back to it. But if you're wanting the good things of God, and that's where you want to be, God will give it to you. It's a matter of what you want. Will we have the right attitude towards God afterwards? Will we want to serve Him? Will we want to please Him? Worship Him? Praise Him? Tell others about Him? David did. His consequences stayed. He faced all these things that we talked about earlier. But he was right with God. God said David was a man after his own heart. Never mentioning all these other things that David did, but just talked about his heart. So where is your heart today? What is your relationship with Him? Is sin plaguing your life? Well, don't try to get rid of the sin. Try getting your heart right with Him. God will take care of the sin and the consequences. He'll give you the strength to go through them. So where are you at today? As we stand and we prepare for an invitation, I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at in this. Maybe sin's not a big deal. Maybe your heart is right with God. Maybe you understand what David did, and when he messed up, you just throw it at Jesus' feet and say, take it, I can't deal with it. Or maybe you're fighting it today. Maybe you're fighting with God. He is convicting your heart and saying, you need to do what David did. But you won't. Because you really want the things of this life. Can I tell you something? The things of this life are temporary. And they're hurtful. And they're not worthy. But when you start thinking about what God has for your life, it can just simply create a joy and a peace that will pass all understanding. If you're just turning in. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, you'll never know joy of your salvation if you don't have it. You'll never know peace. And when disasters befall your life, there'll be no one for you to turn to. No one to fix it the way that God can.